Well, praise the Lord one day for the roll call, and one of these days we'll be in His presence, and we'll be before Him continually, and when He calls the roll, we need to make sure that we are able to say present and here, and that's only accomplished through trusting, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, and we'll be reading in Ephesians chapter number 6. Verse number 11 is one of the verses we'll start with, and been multiple messages preached on these verses, but I wanted to look at them once again tonight and just see some things, what God has for us and the reason why we have this available as a believer. The scripture says in verse 11, Ephesians 6, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We find in verse number 19, verse number 20, that I believe Paul is making a personal appeal to the church of Ephesus and to the Christians, that they remember him in their personal prayer. He's asking them, and he gives them these verses that we've read just before that. He talks about this armor that we'll be dealing with tonight, but I think in verse 19 and 20, he is making a very personal statement. He says that I may have boldness, that I may be able to speak and give the message and to make known the mystery of the gospel. A mystery is something that is hidden. I like a good mystery. When I used to read some mystery books, I like the unknown and trying to figure it out. I like to watch a good mystery movie, and it's trying to reveal that which is unknown and trying to find out truth. So Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, calls the gospel a mystery. It's something that is unknown. It's something that is hidden to the eyes of many people, but God has given Paul the utterance, or giving him the ability to speak and to make known or to reveal this mystery of the gospel. And he's asking them to pray for him that he might be that ambassador that he ought to be. And he tells us that he is in bonds. So he is a prisoner as he writes these things. And he said, "You just pray that I put on that armor of God, that I may be able to stand and that I might speak as I ought to speak." And so Paul makes this appeal very personal of what he has given to them as he instructs them to put on this armor that God has given to all of us. Somebody might say, why would we have an armor? Why would we want to have an armor? And it's just simply because of all the needs that are there in the battle that we are in is before us, that we have to have something that enables us to fight the battle. I heard the other day that the United States, our military, is about half of what it ought to be as far as readiness and ability to fight a war that if it came about. Now, that's not very good. That's not very encouraging. When we think about we just only have half ability to do what we should do if there was a real problem somewhere in the world that we had to get involved in. I heard where they have taken a lot of planes, put them off to the side, do not have the funds to fix them or to make them flyable again, and now they're taking parts off of those planes to keep the rest of them flying. Now, that's not a very good armament. That's not a very good way to protect a country. And that ought to bring us to a point of realizing that we're not as well equipped as maybe we think we are. And if we're going to fight a battle, we must be prepared. If you're going to fight a battle, you must have the right things to wear and to have. And so as a Christian here, Paul gives to the Christians of Ephesus, he says that they just need to put on the whole armor of God. That means the complete armor. Everything is there for a purpose and there for a reason. A few years back, we gave a series on this armor of God and a piece at a time and dealt with that individually and took all those different pieces, and each week we went through that. And it's there for us to be able to fight the battle. And the battle rages everywhere. I don't believe there's a place anywhere in America, I don't believe there's a place anywhere in the world that there's not a battle that is raging against righteousness and holiness. If it's ever been accepted and has been taken into a people, then there is that battle that is there for us. And we certainly need to know how to fight, but we need to know how to protect ourselves in the fight. And so tonight I want us to just deal with why, what's the purpose, or why do we have an armor of God? Why is it even available to us? And we're not talking about fighting to go to heaven. That's not the subject matter. We don't fight to go to heaven, we believe. We don't fight a battle to win in order to be accepted of the Lord. But our battle is between us and the wicked one and the forces of evil. And by the way, the devil is not omnipresent. He's only one person, and he can only be one place at a time. But he does have a lot, multiple cohorts. He has his workers. The scripture calls them demons or devils. And they are distributed, they are placed, and they go forth with a battle plan. And that battle plan is to harm us and to hurt us and to defeat Christianity and to defeat the things of the Lord. It's been that way ever since the Garden of Eden, and it doesn't get any better, doesn't get any easier. The battle still rages, and maybe even a little worse now than in days gone by. So we're not fighting in order to go to heaven. That was settled when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. When he gave his blood, when he gave his life, that battle was over. All we have to do is accept that and believe the sacrifice that he made for us. But there are national battles, there are big battles, and there are personal battles that we all deal with. And it's those personal battles that sometimes we let down the guard, and sometimes we don't take up the whole armor of God, and then we find ourselves in a bad place. I got an email, or I got a text this morning from a friend, and I had not heard anything about this, but there's a college, I forget the name of the college, and I can't find it. It's Boswell Chapel, and it's in Ada, Oklahoma. Ada, Oklahoma is just, I think it's just north of Oklahoma City, and it's a college, a state-run institution, and it has a chapel on that property, and it was donated and given by the Boswell family 60 years ago. I think that this building was built, best I remember. It's got a video that I watched, and I believe it was erected in 1957, and so it's been there all these years, and it looks just like a church, and it's built for that purpose, to have a place where students could go, those that desired to could go for their private time and their their service and different things such as that. But there's a group that is in this country that every time they see a cross anywhere, they want to destroy it. And they are, I forget the name of something about separation of church and state. And so when they see the cross anywhere on public property, then they take up the battle. And so the battle rages there in Ada, Oklahoma. And they were going to, one day last week, the best I could read it, they were going to take a crane and take the cross down off of the chapel, and they were going to remove all the Bibles out of it and just make it non-sectarian at all, non-Christian completely. Well, there's enough people that have rose up against that. I got a message this afternoon that they had reversed their decision. The college people, the administration and all that had reversed their decision, and they were not going to do it at this time. Now, that's just a stall tactic where you, if you're not careful, you get weary doing well, and before long, if you're not careful, it'll come down. Nobody will recognize it. Nobody will know it until it's too late. And so that's a battle. There's a group that's called the Gospel Station Network. It's a network that has it's an internet radio system, has a number of radio stations on it. I have it on my phone, listen to it quite a bit. So they've taken up the battle, and they are fighting against that. And so that's a big battle. That's an important battle. And you and I have, as far as the world's concerned, are small battles, but it's very big to you and I, and very personal many times when it comes to us. And so we must have the understanding that the battle rages, not just in my heart, but in the heart of every believer. There is a need that we, and a purpose, and a need for the armor of God. And so this battle takes place and begins the moment you get saved. You're in the battle. And the devil has his armies. He has his spiritual dark side group that is always against the people of the Lord. But God, knowing that, has provided us a means and a way that we can not only fight the battle, but we can stand against all the wickedness, and we can win, and one day we shall win. And so I want us to look at some things tonight here in this chapel service and this service as we look at the scripture. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The battle is not against individual people, flesh and blood. The battle is a spiritual battle that is using spirit means whereby in physical life to bring about turmoil in the life of a child of God. And so Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Everything he throws, the wiles just simply means his actions and his way. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. We know he's our adversary. He's as a roaring lion, and he walketh about seeking, looking, lurking. I'm sure we have all seen the shows where the lions will hunker down, and they have their prey in sight, and they are very still, and they're waiting for that moment that they can jump on their prey. If you have a house cat, the cat does the same thing outside. The other day I was watching our cat, and I told Sharon, I said, that cat's got something spotted. It's got something ready to go after, because it's all down, not moving, very still, very quiet, and then all of a sudden she moves. And that's exactly the way the devil works, and he gives us the illustration here that the devil is, he's not like a little kitty cat, he's like a roaring lion. And he's not roaring at first. He's seeking, he's looking, and he's lurking after his prey. So there is an adversary that is examining us. As that roaring lion, as he looks at his prey, he is examining everything around it to see what would be the best way and the best time to attack the prey. And that's exactly what the devil does against you and I. He watches us, he knows us, his enemies are there Our enemies are there against us, his workers, and they're there just to see the moment, the right time, the right place, the right attitudes, and he is walking about seeking how he can destroy, how he can tear down. And so when you see that, just as I watched that cat at the house, I knew the attack was expected. It was going to happen. Just didn't know when, didn't know how, but it was going to be there because it was poised for that attack to take place. And we may not know all the ways of the wicked one. We may not know all the ins and outs, but I'll guarantee he knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. He knows how we feel. He knows how we express ourselves. He knows what we believe, and he is seeking whom he may devour or to attack. And we just need to understand it's expected. He's not going to be quiet. He's not going to be still. He's not going to back up. He's not going to withdraw. He's always there ready to destroy and to defeat the child of God. He's walking about and he's seeking. The attack is there expected because he intends to devour. Spiritually, he sometimes attacks our faithfulness. Sometimes he attacks our health. Sometimes he attacks our family. Sometimes he attacks everything that's involved in our life in order that he can bring us down to defeat, because he is that that adversary that is there. And we need to be alert to that. We need to understand everything that goes on in this world does not just happen by coincidence. I believe there are planned attacks by the wicked one against the organized church that's true to the Lord. I believe there is a plan, there is a pattern, and he uses his means and his ways individually against the child of God, because the church tonight is only as strong as the individuals are. The church is only as good as the people of that church are. The church is only as spiritual as those people are that are in that in that church. And so Peter tells us to be sober, to be vigilant. The word sober there means to be alert, to know, to have understanding. We apply being sober opposite of being drunk. A drunk sometimes doesn't know what they're doing, but when you're sober, you know everything's taking place. And so that word is used here, that we be alert, that we know what's happening, and we realize that our adversary is there, and he is vigilant. He does not quit. He does not give up. And sometimes when we when we fight a battle and we come to the conclusion of that battle, we sometimes relax and say, "Boy, I'm glad that's over." Well, just hang on, because there's another one right around the corner. Just wait a few minutes. Just wait a little while, and you'll find out that that adversary that is seeking, just because you, through the work of the Lord and the armor of God, just because you ward off or take care of his darts that he flies at you, doesn't mean he's not going to do it another direction, another way, use another means, because he is lurking. He is looking and seeing who he can defeat, and who he can not only defeat but devour, to get rid of them completely in the work of the Lord. So the armor of God helps the believer to defend himself. That's why God gives it to us. It's not there just to have a coat of armor. It's not there just to be seen or to be spiritually to have, but the armor is there for us to be able to use it, that we can defend ourselves. Now, there is a defense of the faith. There's this thing of defense, and there's offense. Offense is when you go after it. Defense is when you stand against it. And the armor of God is given for first, that we defend ourselves against the wickedness and against the wiles and against the fiery darts. Verse 16 says, "Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." He's throwing them at us. He's throwing them at us. And that shield of faith that God gives us, we can, if he comes from the left side, we can move the shield. If he comes from the right side, we can move the shield. If he's coming from in front of us, we can move the shield. If it's above us, we can ward off. We can fight off. And the little word there, all, that means everything he throws at us. Everything that is thrown to us, we can take that that we would quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we are given the armor of God to defend ourselves because he's attacking. He is the one that comes after us. He's the one that's charging the hill. He's the one that's coming where we are. He's the one that's making the advancement. He's the one that's there, and we must defend ourselves or he will devour us. He will defeat us and destroy us. Number two, the armor of God helps the believer to declare his position. It helps us to say, I'm standing right here. Paul uses that word time and time again here in this passage. He says, having done all, stand. He tells us in verse number 13, says, taking to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. That's those darts, to withstand everything that he puts before us. And having done all, just stand. It helps us to declare, here I am. I'm not moving. I'm not running. I'm not giving up. I'm here for that. And so he says here that we are to stand, to make our position known, to take on the armor of God that we can withstand in the evil day. The armor helps us to stand. It helps us to hold the fort. It helps us to stay where we are and not to give up, not to give in, to maintain our position, to declare that for today we are taking a stand for something, we're going to do something, and we're not going to run from the wicked one. Now, when you read the armor of God, everything of the body is covered except when you turn and run. There's nothing for the back. There's nothing that's there that can ward off his dart when you turn and run. Sometimes we want to run. Sometimes we feel like running. Sometimes we might run. But you be assured that God doesn't give us anything for when we run. He doesn't give us any place where we can go. And we need to, as the saying is, we need to draw a line and say, this is where I am. I'm not moving. I'm not backing up. This is where I stand. And the whole armor of God there with me is there to help me to stand. And having done everything else, just stand. We may lose some battles, but stand. We may lose some areas in life. And we need to stand in our service, faithfulness to him, faithfulness in every action that he gives to us, every position that he tells us where we are to be faithful. We can be found faithful in our faithfulness to the church, our tithes, our offerings, everything God gives to us, we can stand and say, I'm not going to move in my service unto the Lord, in my living for him, in my scripture, in the truth and the doctrine. I'm going to stay where I am because it is the Word of God. And so this armor that God gives to us, he doesn't leave us defenseless. He doesn't leave us to fight our own battle. He doesn't leave us to not have anything to fight or to defend ourselves. And he makes sure that we are able to stay where we are and do the things that he gives to us in the scripture. So the Word of God tells us that we have an armor, that we have a message, that we have these things, the helmet, and all these things are listed, and we're not going to take each one of them and look at them, but they're there to protect a certain portion, a certain part of the body, that if that body, part of that body is hit, then you're in trouble. Now you have the breastplate, you have all the things that are there. And he says, stand therefore, your loins girt about with truth. That's your legs, your upper legs, have truth, have strength, have those things available that we know that is truth and never back up on that. And then it tells us here that we have a breastplate of righteousness, and that covers the heart and the lungs. That covers physically. He's given us a physical understanding of something that's spiritual, and we our heart and our lungs are vital to our existence. So we have to have truth. If you don't have truth, you can't stand. There's a lot of folks tonight that don't have the truth, and therefore they cannot stand, and they do not stand. The reason so many Christians are losing in the battle and are not standing, I believe, is because they do not know the truth. They just simply do not know. And the sad part of it is that many of them have been taught truth and that they turn their back on that, and then they wonder why they cannot win the battle. They wonder what's wrong. Well, when you don't stand in truth, then the only thing left is defeat. And so we have our legs, our upper strength legs, with truth. We have our chest covered with a breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Understanding and knowing our feet are very important. One of the things in the life of anybody physically is you have to keep your feet, you have to take care of them. Because when your feet go, you have a problem. You're not mobile. You don't have the ability. As a diabetic, they check my feet ever so often to make sure that everything is still, I can still feel things. I'm glad I can feel, and so far no problem. Now some fingers, tips, are a little bit different, but my feet are okay physically. And so the Lord says here that our feet spiritually need to be taken care of or covered with the preparation here and have the gospel of peace. And then it says, above all, the shield. We mentioned that just a moment ago. And ward off the fiery darts. And then we have a helmet. Thank God that protects the head. That protects the mind. And it's the helmet of salvation. In one hand we have a shield. In the other hand we have the sword. And we know that is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So God gives us everything we need to fight. He gives us these things that we can defend ourselves. He gives us these things that we can declare, here I stand. This is what I believe. This is where I am. And then thirdly, He gives us this armor that we can go out and defeat the foe. All of a sudden we turn from that which is defense until we can go defeat. We can go ward off, and the trouble that comes within, and the problem that comes our way, we can fight that off, and then we can go win the battle. When David fought Goliath, David didn't have to defend himself. God was doing that. But he was on the offense, and he let that stone go, and God directed the stone just to the one place that was not covered on Goliath, and that was right in his forehead. And then David takes the sword of Goliath and cuts his head off. And so David went on the defensive, then he went on the offensive, and he won the battle. So the armor that God gives us helps us to defeat the wicked one. Above all, it says, taking the shield of faith, what we believe. You see, faith is more than just saving faith. Faith is believing the Word of God and accepting the Scripture for what it says. And there's sometimes we read the Scripture and say, well, I don't know about that. Sometimes we say, I'm not too sure I want to do that. I'm not sure I want to stand there. Well, if it's in the book, we need to stand where the book tells us to stand. And it doesn't matter who leaves, doesn't matter who stays, doesn't matter what takes place in our friendships and our lives, we must stand according to truth and according to the Word of God. We have the trouble that comes from without. And by the way, Satan is stronger than we are. He's much stronger. He has more ability than you and I. That's why God's given us some armament. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go fight the devil. Well, you better be careful because he's strong. And you fight him without the Lord, you're going to lose. He was strong enough to defeat Adam and Eve. And you take from that point in the book of Genesis unto this very day, he's strong enough to defeat the best of all Christians. He thought he was strong enough to defeat the Lord. And I think he probably thought he did when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And so he's a foe that is very formidable. He's a foe that is very able and very conniving enough to destroy any of us. And so therefore we must take on the armor of God. And God gives us that in order to fight the battle and even to defeat the foe. And we've got to You just got to get with what God gives us. They tried to give David Saul's armor. He said, I can't take that armor. I haven't proved it. I haven't tried it. I haven't even had it on. And Saul, being a very large individual, he stood head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. And they wanted David, the young guy, to take his armor and fight the battle. He said, I can't use that. Haven't tried it. Well, David didn't need anything because God was his armor. And I believe he brings it over to us in the New Testament and tells us how that we can be as David and defeat the foe, even the giant that is far greater and far better and has more strength, has more power, has more money, has the world has more than you and I have would ever be able to accomplish. But if we have the Lord, we have more than they have. And we can defeat and destroy the wicked one. And then fourthly and lastly, the armor of God helps us to depend on the Lord. Just to depend upon God. Just to have a dependence upon Him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to see the problem with our own ability. I don't have any. I don't have any ability. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. Jesus told His disciples in John 15:5, He says, without Me you can do nothing. And that's still true tonight. Without Him we cannot. And the armor that God gives to us, spiritually speaking, will help us to depend upon the Lord, be strong in the power of His might, be able to fight the battle because of His strength. The profit of God's armor, how does it profit us? Well, with it, we have safety. I mean, I can stand there and not able to fight, but if that armor is on me, then the wicked one has no ability. The fiery darts, I can shield myself. And we do that with the help of our Lord. So with the armor, I am safe. With the armor, I am secure. I don't have to worry about the wicked one. He's out there. He's knocking at the door. But I have the armor of God on, and I can use it. And I can defend myself. And I can continually take those things that He lashes out at me. And He may hit me in my mind, but I've got the helmet of salvation. He may hit me at my heart and my physical knee, but I have the breastplate of righteousness, and it takes care of that. He may make me feel like I'm weak, but I have the truth of the gospel and I'm strong. He may attack me in my feet, spiritually speaking, but I have my feet are covered. The word shod there means protected by the gospel of peace. And so thank God we are safe with it, we are secure with it, and we are strong with the gospel of the Lord. We are strong with the armor of God. We have strength in order to fight the battle. So I have a problem with my ability, but I have no problem with His ability. I have problem with my able to do, but I don't have any problem with His power, because His power is available to us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can win through Him. We can be victorious through Him. And we can rely upon the Lord. The Bible says that we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. Why? Because he sees an armor that he cannot penetrate. The armor of God cannot be penetrated by the wicked one. It is much greater than he. And so we can fight the battle, and sometimes just fighting is just standing. Sometimes fighting the battle is just making known, here's where I stand, here's where I am, here's what I believe, here's where I go. And so sometimes that battle that we are in and the armor that we have just helps us to say, here I stand. I move no further right or left. I do not go backward. This is where I stand. Here's the line. I go no farther. Now, presidents can draw lines and they have nothing to do. And doesn't mean anything. But the Word of God gives us a line, and that line does not move. Truth, righteousness, holiness. And so the Lord has given us a means whereby we fight the battle. Do we get tired of the battle? Sure we do. My goodness. Every day, something going on. In our minds, in our lives, physically, spiritually, fighting the battle all the time. And that's one of the tenets of the wicked one, of the devil. He tries to wear us down. And the Lord says not to be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired. Just remember, you have strength because of truth. You have protection because of righteousness. You have helmet because of salvation. You have feet that's able to walk, able to fight, able to climb, able to charge, all because of Him. I have no ability, but thank God He's available and He can do all things, and therefore He transfers it to me where Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ. Not in himself, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to recognize our armor and to take it and apply it to our lives. And sometimes we defend ourselves. Sometimes we go on the attack. Sometimes we just stand where we are and say, God is my helper. All of that is in the process of taking care of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let's stand together.